Romans 8, and we are glad to be here. Glad I get to go home tomorrow. Been out away from home about 10 days, that's enough. Romans 8, 18. Raised down there in Louisiana. Glad the pastor's from Louisiana. I can tell he's got a sense of humor already. And he was down there, and old Boudreaux met his wife walking down the road. She was walking in the rain. And he said, "I got to stop and help that poor lady." And so he pulled over and said, "Ma'am, you need some help? It's raining cats and dogs. You need some help?" And he said, I see you lost one of your shoes." And she said, "No, I found one." And he said, he married her. And anyway, one day he went out in the woods. He was hunting, and he went to go back to his truck, and he got lost. And his friend said, "I heard if you fire your weapon up in the air 3 times, they'll find you if you're lost." So he tried it, fired his weapon. And nothing happened. He waited 30 minutes, said, "What do I do now?" He said, "Fire your weapon again." Waited 30 minutes, nothing happened. He said, "What do I do now?" He said, "Fire your weapon again." He said, "Well, I hope they hurry up and come and find us. I'm running out of arrows." So Miss Boudreaux goes down to the police department to file a missing persons report. She brought her little sister, Mary Lou, with her. And she said, they said, "Okay, Miss Boudreaux, what does he look like?" "He's tall, dark, and handsome, and he treats me like a queen." And her little sister pulls her across the hall and says, "That ain't the Boudreaux I know. He's short, fat, and ugly, and treats you like a tramp." She said, "I know that, but if they can't find a man I'm looking for, Boudreaux can stay lost." So there you go, ladies. You know how to get the perfect man of your dreams now. File a missing persons report on him. Romans 8, 18. Read one verse. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let's pray. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, your love. Lord, we do pray you'd help us, fill us with your spirit, your love, your compassion. And Father, help us as we try to preach to have clarity of thought and meet the needs of every person here. Lord, we give you the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The other day we went to this ball game, and the good news is we got cheap tickets. The bad news is nobody could see the field. It was so high. But anyway, that's why I bring my Walkman to a ball game, because they'll all be cheering, and I'll say, "What happened?" They'll look around. "I don't know. Nobody knows what happened." And so now they ask me, "What happened?" Because I got my Walkman with me, amen? And I tell them, "I don't know." But the good news is they had their binoculars, pulled out their binoculars and magnified the people on the field, magnified the players, amen? And that which was far away, that which was unclear was made clear. And we can magnify things in life. He's talking about the glory or the suffering. We can praise God for the good things, or we can complain about the bad things. Amen. And we can magnify. Psalm 69:30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." And so when we start thanking God, it's good therapy. We're magnifying him. We magnify him with thanksgiving and all the good things he's done for us. And we can praise him for a lot of good things, for 99 good things instead of one bad thing. Amen. I heard I was reading a book by a man who was in the trade, the Twin Towers, when it fell that day. And he escaped, and he's blind, and he had a C&I dog. And he said, I like what he said. He said, "I'm a father, and I'm a businessman, and I'm a husband, and I'm a son, and I'm an uncle." He went through a whole list of things that he is, instead of thinking about the one thing the one negative thing, amen, in his life. And there's 99 good things you can focus on instead of one bad thing. And you can praise God for a lot of things. Praise magnifies God. Pouting magnifies our problem. If you're out in the woods and you're on your four-wheeler in the woods and you see something, little tiny brown thing on the trail, and you get your binoculars out and magnify it, it might look like a snake. Amen. It might look like a log. The devil will take that log and beat you over the head with it when you magnify it. You know what's brown and sticky? A stick. A five-year-old told me that joke. I thought I'd pass it on. But what are we magnifying? Magnifying the wrong thing brings fear.
Yes, sir.
And it paralyzes us. Amen. But the promises of God keep your heart above water. It's a life preserver to keep your heart above water. Fear causes the heart to sink, but faith keeps the heart above water. And the promises of God are our life preservers. Amen. We'll look at a few places in the Bible where they magnified the right thing and some magnified the wrong things. Are you focused on the everlasting arms or the enemy? The everlasting arms or the enemy? Which one are we focused on? The children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. God was about to do the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. He was going to magnify himself in the eyes of the entire world through this little nation. And he'll use you if you ask him. If you say, Lord, use me, he'll use you. And he was going to use this little nation to magnify himself. And the problem is we want to magnify ourselves. Amen. But he wants to magnify himself. This little nation was coming up to the Red Sea. They couldn't go backwards. They couldn't go left. They couldn't go right. They couldn't go forward. They were trapped. And they began to murmur. Did you bring us out here to kill us? Moses, was there not enough graves in Egypt that you could have left us there to kill us? And they didn't understand what God was doing. Moses said in the Hebrew, shut up. He said, stand still and see. He starts magnifying God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they looked and they saw the waters of the ocean parting. Amen. Parting. And the land dried and the waters turned to jello. They congealed. Amen. The waters congealed. Then they stood in a heap. And God said, tell this people to go forward. And they walked forward. And God did the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. He brought them through deep places, places where it was seemingly impossible. Over a mile deep, they walked through these places. And God brings us through places that are seemingly impossible.
Right.
When the world says no way, the devil says no way, your family says no way, your friend says no way, God says way.
Yep.
Makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
Amen. And he brought them through this great miracle and drowned the Egyptian army and glorified himself in the eyes of the entire world. When I was called to evangelism, I told a friend of mine, and I was scared to death and excited at the same time. I said, I think God's calling me into evangelism. And he said, like Forrest Gump, well, Cart, how are you going to get there? You can't drive. But for somehow 27 years, the everlasting arms have carried us.
Amen.
The everlasting arms have carried us.
Amen.
Amen. He'll carry you. He'll carry you through. Are you focused on the everlasting arms or the enemy? Are you focused on the grapes or the giants? Are you feasting on the grapes? If you think about all the people that have been saved in this church, you'll have a feast.
Amen.
But if you think about one crazy person that has attacked you, you'll go into major depression. Amen. Feasting on the grapes or focused on the giants? The children of Israel were told to go in, send 12 spies into the land of Canaan, and two came back with grape juice running out of their mouth. Billy Kelly said those grapes were so huge they peeled the skin off of the grapes and used them for shower caps to swim the Jordan. That's how huge they were. They had grape juice running out of their mouth. They said, milk and honey and grapes. Milk and honey and grapes. Milk and honey and grapes. And The other 10 said, giants, walls, grasshoppers. Giants, walls, grasshoppers. They magnified the wrong report. They got afraid. They were paralyzed with fear. They said, we can't do it. They focused on the giants instead of feasting on the grapes. And they fell in the wilderness, wasted their lives, wouldn't do the will of God. Said, nope, it's impossible. We can't do it. God can't deliver us from one little giant. He let us cross the Red Sea, but he can't deliver us from one little giant. And they lost their faith, and they were filled with fear, and they wasted their lives in the wilderness. Amen. Wasted their lives in the wilderness for fear. Are you focused on the giants or feasting on the grapes? There was a battle. They said that George Washington ran out of cannonballs, and he started shooting fruitcakes. And if the devil can't get you to stop any other way, he'll shoot a fruitcake at you. Amen. So I say focus on the fruit and not the fruitcakes. And people say, pastor's wives say, can I write that on my refrigerator? Focus on the fruit and not the fruitcakes. Amen. Get past the giants, feasting on the grapes. Are you focused on the fire or the friend that'll stick with you through the fire? The three Hebrew children, they said, we will not bow. The king said, you're going to bow to this idol. You're going to worship this idol. It was probably an image of himself from Babylon. And they said, we will not bow. And the king said, you will bow or I'll throw you into the fire. We will not bow. Our God will deliver us. And if not, we'll still serve him. Sometimes you have to pray that prayer. Even if God doesn't answer my prayers, I'm going to serve him.
Amen.
I'm going to serve him. And the king heated the fire 7 times hotter. The king's soldiers were killed by the heat of the fire. The three Hebrew children were in the fire. They said, we're going to magnify God. We're going to use our lives to serve him, to worship him, to magnify him. They were in the middle of the fire. And all of a sudden the king looks in. He said, they're up. They're walking around. They're loosed from their ropes. And I see, he said, he looked in and he said, I see a fourth man in the fire. It looks like the Son of God. The Son of God in the fire. They looked and he was amazed that he saw the Son of God being magnified. These three Hebrew children yielded their lives and God was magnified. Amen. And the Bible says in Psalm 29, he divideth the flames. His voice divideth the flames. How did they walk through the fire and not get burned? God divided the flame. And Job said, when he tries me, I shall come forth as gold. When the potter, goldsmith knows that the gold is ready, when he looks in and all the impurities are gone and he sees his image in that gold, he knows it's ready. And are you focused on the fire or the friend that'll walk with you through the fire? Are you focused on the fire? Are you focused on the storm or the shelter? He is the shelter from the storm. A lot of times we let the storm drive us away from God. We ought to let the storm drive us to God. Amen. Let your storms drive you to the arms of God. Spurgeon said, I've learned to kiss the wave that slammed me against the rock of ages. And he began to appreciate the storms that slammed him against the rock of ages, caused him to know the Lord even better. There was a man who lost his first fiancée. She died. Then his second fiancée died. Then his mother was in England dying, and he couldn't get there. He was in Canada working, so he wrote a poem. And through all of his storms and all of his disappointments and all the heartaches of his life, this is the poem that he wrote, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus was written from a man who had faced storm after storm that had driven him into the arms of Jesus, driven him to the shelter. He's the shelter from the storm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let him wrap his arms around you. Amen. In the storm, he's the shelter. Are you magnifying the storm in your life? Or are you magnifying the shelter that'll wrap his arms around you? Are you magnifying the lions or the Lord? Paul said, at my first answer, all men withstood me. Paul was on trial and he said, all of my friends turned their back on me and they walked away. Not one person stood with Paul, but he said, how be it? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. And he shall deliver me out of every evil work. Amen. All the lying tongues, all the people that were lying about Paul, he delivered him out of the liar, out of the lion's mouth. He'll deliver you from that liar. Amen. From the lion's club. The big cities have the lion's club, but in our town we have the liar's club. I mean the lying club. And all the wives have affectionately named it that, where the old men sit and talk, drink coffee all morning long and tell whoppers. Tell lies. Amen. He'll deliver you from the mouth of the liar and the lion. Amen. Are you focused on the shelter or the storm, the lions or the Lord? Are you focused on the nasty now and now or the never-ending reward? That reward in heaven. Paul looks back at the 30 or 40 years of persecution that he suffered, and he looks back with a telescope of time, and he sees that little bit of suffering is nothing compared to the glory in heaven.
Right.
Nothing compared to the glory in heaven. Amen. Are you focused on the broke down body or the brand new body that you'll get in heaven? A new body. You'll never have to have knee replacements, hip replacements, heart replacements, eye replacements, teeth replacements, ear replacements. Amen. No replacements. A brand new body that'll never wear out after millions and millions of years. You'll never have to take one ibuprofen. You'll never have to take one aspirin, one pain pill. No hospitals, no doctors in heaven. A perfect body. Are you focused on a broke down shack or a jacked up mansion? Amen. Down here you have to repair, replace, remodel, and re-roof your house. And about the time you get it all fixed up, spend thousands of dollars on it, your wife looks around and says, it's out of style. It's time to remodel again. But up there, a mansion, Jesus has been working on it for 2,000 years. A city, a mansion, a city, a shining city of gold. Amen. Shining city. Are you focused on that mansion? Are you focused on a broken heart from a loved one that left you, went to heaven? Or are you focused on that family reunion that'll never end? Never-ending family reunion. Amen. We had back in April, we had probably seven friends and loved ones that died in that 1 month. And we left the funeral home one night and went straight to the nursing home where my wife's uncle was dying. He had talked about those heirs, sky blue eyes were open, but he couldn't see, he couldn't hear, he couldn't talk, he couldn't respond. And he didn't know anybody was in the room, and we went and visited him for a second, and then we left. Went back a couple of days later. My sister-in-law went back, and a couple of days later, he was still the same. His eyes were open, non-responsive, couldn't hear, couldn't see, didn't know that anybody was in the room. Then all of a sudden, he started saying something to his mama, his mama's been in heaven 30 years. He started talking to his mama. Mama, he saw his mother in heaven, and that got my wife so excited because she loved her grandmother like nobody on earth. And she said, grandmother's right over there. He was talking to grandmother. And his physical senses were getting dim, but his spiritual senses were getting sharp. He could see over into heaven. When his dad died, he had an amazing testimony. When he died, he loved music. His dad loved music and loved the old Stamps Baxter. He would get all those books and teach and have singing schools and have singings every Every Sunday they would go somewhere and teach those new songs, and a lot of those old songs now are in our hymn books that they were writing back then. But he sat down one day on the job. He's 75 years old. He was working with his boys laying brick, and he sat down on the job and he said, "Son, I'm dying." His son told me, he said, "Daddy never sat down on the job. I knew something was wrong." He said, "Son, I'm dying. Tell your mother I love her." And he said, "Look at there. I can see across the river." And he said, "Listen to the singing." And he started shouting. He started rejoicing, hearing the singing in heaven. And he crossed over like that. Just like that, he was gone. He was in heaven. And are you focused on that broken heart or that never-ending family reunion? A never-ending family reunion. Amen. Are you focused on your sin or the Savior that can wash away your sin? Amen. There was a lady who had stolen some things, and the judge said that you're going to have to go to jail or pay this fine. And she had stolen some things to feed her babies, and you're going to go to jail or pay this fine. And she started crying, said, "Who's going to take care of my babies?" And the judge had compassion. He took off his robe and he walked down and he reached into his pocket. And he handed her the money to pay for the debt that she owed. And he came up, put his robe back on, brought his gavel down, said, "Paid in full. You're free. You're free to go." And that is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Saw that we were sinners and we could not pay our sin debt. Had a debt we could not pay, and he had compassion on us. And he took off his robe and his crown, and he came down to earth, and he hung on an old rugged cross, and he died, shed his life's blood to pay for our sin. Ascended back up to heaven, put on his robe and crown, became the judge, the door, and the sacrifice. And now he says, this is a free gift. It took me forever to understand salvation is a free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot be good enough. It took me forever. I was raised in a religion that said you got to be good. You got to be a good person to go to heaven. And I tried and I tried and I got worse and I got worse. And I finally understood I could not pay this sin debt. And somebody said it's a free gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when I said, okay, if it's just a gift, I can accept a gift without messing it up, maybe. When I accepted that gift, my life changed. And it's simply a free gift. The gift of salvation is yours tonight if you'll accept it. You can accept it or you can reject it. God will not send anyone to hell. You'll send yourself to hell. It's a free gift. Would you accept it tonight? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. Pray you'd help us. Take this feeble feeble attempt to preach a message, Father, and use it in our lives. Help us to thank you and praise you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everything he said tonight, I hope you listened to it. You remember the prodigal son? He was focused on the wrong thing. And he finally came to himself and got focused on the right thing and came home to the Father. What have you been focused on? What have you been magnifying? I hope you listened tonight, because if you did, the Lord spoke to you. Lord, I pray that you please bless this invitation.